I hope in your phone you have your Bible, okay, because we don't have the benefit of the screen, okay, unless you're going to turn your chair around and face backwards, all right, which, don't do that to me, okay, all right? I'll need prayer after service if you do that, but be ready to take notes. This is a little old school, but you know, one thing that I can say about everyday faith that inspires me is, you know, when I'm in Pakistan, like where we were here, and you see the faith that these people need to have every single day, like they need faith at a level we don't know. Okay, I mean, you got to remember, in Pakistan, Christians are terribly discriminated against. Less than 1% of the population is Christian. It's illegal for a Christian to share their faith. Again, if a Muslim becomes a Christian, I mean, they have to run for their life. It's that type of an environment. But I'll tell you what, their everyday faith is amazing. It's inspiring, right? We think we have problems. Okay, and one of the great things about travel like this is you find out that our problems are really quite small compared to most of the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Or ouch, if it hurts, okay? Either one. You can go either way with that. But their faith is so strong. And when we look at that, one thing, we need to understand faith. You know, there was an exhortation today about being in a spirit of slumber. You can start recording now. I didn't want to lose those first minutes. Okay, so just about now the preaching starts. But you know, when I look at these people, I see in this spirit of slumber that was spoken about this morning. I believe that faith is the problem. Lack of faith, lack of understanding what faith is. And this morning we want to talk about that. And one of the scriptures, most well-known scriptures about faith, is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And now that we're doing this old school, I have to give you a moment to find it. Hebrews chapter 11. And this is a scripture that many of us know. And let me read it to you. It says, it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you've heard that scripture, right? How many have heard that scripture? Well, you've heard that. Like, yeah, without faith, man, you cannot please God. But here's the question for you. Do you know the text that it's written in? In other words, what is happening when this was written to the Hebrews? And if you look at the text at the end of chapter 10, the writer is speaking about the terrible time they are in. He's speaking about how they're being persecuted. They're being beaten for their faith, literally beaten. Some are being thrown in jail. How they've had their goods, the things that they own, are being taken away from them, stolen from them. See, and it's in this text that God says, hey, when things are so bad, he says, look, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know, when we look at that in context of what is meant, of what is being spoken, I say let's dig a little deeper and let's understand what faith is. What do you think? Right? Let's dig a little deeper. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And God, we come before you right now, God, believing that you hear us. God, I'm asking, Lord, you open up our hearts, open up our minds to see what you want to communicate to us about what faith is and how it transforms our lives. God, open us up in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, faith is such a common theme for Christians that we think we understand it. But reality is, do we? Do we really understand what is meant by walking in faith? And I say that because of the way we live our lives and what I catch as we interact with one another. You know, so many of us, we still live lives weighed down by anxiety and worry. We're weighed down. It pushes us down. Or we're living lives in like a slumber. Like we're not excited. Where is the passion that I should have for the one who gave his life for me? Right? Shouldn't there be a passion? I mean, someone died for you. Right, there should be something coming out of it. When we get squeezed, something good should come out. But so many of us, we're weighed down. And we're really, a Jesus follower should be unburdened. A Jesus follower should be filled with purpose. Okay. So again, so we're missing some. So if you hang in there with me for the next few minutes, listen, I believe you're going to gain clarity about faith. I believe you're going to be unburdened as you have a greater understanding of what it is about faith. What do we really mean when we talk about faith? Now, here's this scripture in chapter 11, verse 1. And many of you have heard this one. Many of you have heard this. It's now faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. And I've heard this thing preached for decades. And I honestly, it's always kind of confounded me. I've struggled with the meaning, in all honesty. Like, okay, faith is confidence in what I hope for, assurance what I don't see. What's it really saying? And, you know, I've found a translation of the Bible that I really like. And many of you will like it because it's called the Easy Translation, right? How many would like an easy translation of the Bible, okay? Amen. Well, Google it. It's out there, okay? This is how it phrases this Hebrews 11:1. Okay, it says, this is what it means to trust God. We will be sure about the things that we hope for. We will be sure in our minds about the things that we cannot even see. Okay, I just like that. Like, look, this is what it means. You can be sure about the things we hope for. Now, if I read that scripture just at face value, I'm thinking, well, that means anything I hope for, I should receive. Right? How many would like to receive everything they hope for? I sure would. Right, we'd even like to receive the things we shouldn't ask for, but we ask for, right? But again, we see that. But here's the question. Does God really mean that you get what you want? No. The scripture does not say that we get just what we want. God, you know, it may be the easy version, but he's not promising an easy life. God does not promise that life is going to be easy. And that's an issue we have in the body of Christ. Now, your life certainly gets easier that we're no longer carrying the burdens on our own. Amen? We're not carrying those burdens. But he's not saying that life is going to be easy street. He never promises that. Okay? That doesn't mean that everybody I pray for gets healed. Right? It doesn't mean that the relationships that I'd like to have seen restored get restored. No. It doesn't happen. That's not the promise. Actually, Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Jesus said this. He said, I've told you these things. He's trying to encourage his disciples because they're in a bad way. He just told them, one of you is going to betray me and I'm leaving and you can't come with me. Okay, they were struggling a little bit in the moment. And he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. What do you have in the world? Tribulation. Say tribulation. Tribulation. Trials. Right? Frustration. Distress. That's what we have in the world. That's what we have. But he said, you can have peace. He said, you can have peace. That's what he promises us. He does not promise that your life is going to be just easy. Easy. That's not what we see here, and you know. So we do all the right things. Here's the thing. See, we live our lives unto God. We're doing all the right things, but you still have trouble. How many have found that out? Right. It's just being honest. We still have issues in our life. You know. Again, and there's things that confuse us. We don't understand. Many times I have looked to heaven and really had these conversation with God that start with, what is up with that? What? Why did that happen? I'm trying to serve you. Any of you ever have that conversation with God? I'm trying to serve you. I'm pouring my life out for you. And this happens? What's up with that? What's up with that? If you haven't had that, you will. Okay, all right. But here's the thing. We have to recognize that God doesn't promise that. And actually, if you're going to serve God with all your heart, he's going to lead you into trouble. Think about that. Think about the life of the disciples in the Bible. Right? They served him. They served him. And what happened to the original disciples? Right? Only one didn't get martyred. Right? Again, there's a high price to pay. God will lead us into a different type of stress in serving him, right? if we're going to pursue him. So the point is, even if you serve him, even if you serve him, he's going to lead you into trouble. You know, I can say this in my own life. I mean, I'm 67 years old and I'm sliding around Pakistan trying to avoid the police. I mean, I didn't ask for this. Okay, I don't want to be led out of meetings by the police, but it happens. Right? See, the thing is, God will lead you into trouble. You know, and listen, if God's never led you into a difficult, tight spot, you're not following him. You're not following him, right? Because God's going to put you in uncomfortable places. Now, that uncomfortable place could very well be where you have to stand up for your faith in a place that's very difficult, right, here in America, right? He's going to challenge you. He's going to put you in difficult places. Okay, or some of you have sat in meetings or been talking to somebody and man, something just told you, you were supposed to give a certain amount of money. And you're thinking, that can't be God, right? But is it God? See, because God leads us into difficult places in faith, right? That's what he does. That's what he does. See, God's not going to give you an easy street. Easy street doesn't exist. Easy street's in heaven. Okay, that's where it's easy. Maybe where the streets are paved with gold, that's an easy street, okay? Right, but God's going to lead us into trouble. So this idea that if we have great faith, we have less trouble, not true. Now, in your trouble, you can have great peace, but he's going to lead you into difficult places. Ah, aren't you glad you came today? Hallelujah. All right. So if my faith is not to help me and mine, if my faith is not just to pray when people are sick or pray to get me out of tight spots, then what's it for? What's it for? What's my faith in? See, because this is what happens with most of us. We talk about faith mainly in response to having our problems, our needs, or our needs met. Our problems answered, our needs met. And God's saying, look, it's so much deeper than that. Right? So basically what happens, guys, listen, it's almost like we have faith in our faith. And if I'm praying and God doesn't answer this prayer for the healing of my loved one, or God doesn't answer this financial need the way I think he should, then I question, well, my faith, something's wrong with my faith, isn't strong enough. I'm telling you, no, that's not the answer. We're not looking in the right place. Okay, so the scripture says in Hebrews 11:1, you can be sure of what you hope for. Well, what is it we're supposed to hope for? Listen, what are we supposed to be sure about? Listen, here I'm just going to throw out a couple things that you should be absolutely sure about. First one, God has plans for your good. God has plans for your good. Say that. God has plans for your good. That's reality. That's Jeremiah 11:29. Christians love to cite that one. 29:11. I'm sorry. Jeremiah 29:11. Also, God is a rewarder of those who seek him. He rewards. God is a rewarder. He is for you. Okay. Also, God provides everything that you need. That's a promise. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and you get all the other stuff. You receive all the other things when you pursue him first. Right? So provision is there. Also, he gives you eternal life. This is what I hope. This is what I'm absolutely sure of. This is what's being spoken of in Hebrews. Listen, you got to know, God has plans for your good. God's a rewarder. God provides for you, and God gives you eternal life. That's reality. This is what we know. Listen, see, our faith is built upon the fact that God is good. Our faith is built on the fact that God is good. That's the foundation. Our faith is built on, contingent upon God's character, not God's answers to my prayer. All right? Your faith is contingent on God's character, not on answers to prayer. And we have a tendency to confuse this all the time. Let's just think back again here for a minute, back to Hebrews 11:6, about it's impossible to please God. Right, without faith, and anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder. Okay, so he says, so you can't please God. You know, and again, we've been serving God a long time, and anyone's been serving God for a length of time, you've heard the scripture, and it's like, man, God, yeah, Jesus, my faith has to be stronger. My faith has to be stronger, God. I'm sorry it's not stronger. And I believe we look at this scripture, this touchstone scripture about faith, and we're really missing the heart of God. See, when it says it's impossible to please God without faith, God's not angry with you. He's sad. He's sad. Remember, this was written to people who were having their homes emptied, right, by the Jews who hate them, right? They're being thrown in prison and are being beaten. All right? And it's in this context saying, trust God. Trust him. Because when you don't trust God when things are difficult, you break his heart. See, lack of faith breaks the heart of God. It doesn't anger him. He's sad. Think about it. Think about the people you love. Those who have children, this is easy, right? When your children don't trust you, when somebody you love doesn't trust you, man, that saddens you. See, so when you don't trust God, he's not angry. He's sad. You know, when you're anxious on how you're going to make it, or you have constant headache over your marriage, or you're in despair over your singleness, when we're in that place as Christians, we're saying, I don't trust God. I don't trust you. When you're depressed over a broken relationship or in fear over something at work, right? And when you're in those places, you're not in faith. And what we're saying in those moments is, I don't trust you. I don't have faith in you. I don't have faith. And man, God isn't upset. That's what I want you to know. You got to know he's for you. He wants to reward you, and that eternal life is yours. You know, see, I'm in many different Christian cultures, and there's some cultures that I'm in. They love to declare God's promises. They just declare God's promise. They sing and dance and you know, about the double-double. The double-double, God's going to bless us double-double, and we go crazy, and the blessings of God are going to chase you down this year like a cheetah on the savannah. You know, this is the year of financial blessing. Listen, you cannot declare your way to faith. You can't declare your way. You build faith. You build faith step by step. You can't declare. Now, declaration helps once faith is established, okay? But we can do the same thing. How often have we cried out for God to say, bless us in some relational way? But our faith is not in a God who has proven himself to us. Our faith is not in a God who I know intimately and I trust. Our faith is in him answering our prayer. God, if you answer my prayer, I have great faith. No, you can't declare it. You cannot declare the promises, yourself to faith. You can't declare it. You have to build it. Faith foundation is built. Now, the way to build deep faith, deep confident faith, is by feeding your soul daily the truth about the Father. We've got to build faith by building ourselves by truth about the Father. You know, think about this. This is the thing I want you to remember today. To build strong, daily, unshakable faith, you have to feed yourself. Okay? You have to feed yourself the facts about the Father. If you want faith, feed yourself facts about the Father. Feed yourself facts about the Father. We're not just declaring, oh God, I need this, oh God, I want you, oh God, please, please. No, I want to know who is the Father. This is where my faith is. My faith is not in answers. My faith is in a Father who has proven his goodness to me. And I want to give you some scriptures here. And I said, just write these down. These are something that I encourage you to do, say these scriptures, these things every day. In my prayer time, I mean, how do I stay focused? How do I walk in strong faith? I declare these things on a daily basis. I speak these things. I speak them to God. I mean, think about this. See, there is a need for us daily to build this relationship. You know, I believe I have a great marriage. Do you believe we have a great marriage? Thank you. Okay. You know, now, one of the reasons that it's strong, it doesn't just happen because we say it. We build it. Okay, I mean, honestly, I want to constantly remind myself how my wife has proven her love to me, how she is for my success. All right, she's for me. She wants me to succeed. She's with me. You know, she encourages me to go away for weeks at a time. Okay, she could take that two different ways, I guess, right? But again, from wanting me to have an iron shirt in the morning to wanting to bless me in our home, wanting to represent me well and the kingdom well. See, I remind myself of those things, of how faithful she's been to me. And I remember those things of how faithful she is to me. And then I add declaration where I speak to her appreciation and I speak to her gratitude. Of I thank her for the way she does love me and care for me and tell her she is still my queen. And I love her and that will never change. As those two things together, reminding myself of the foundation of her love for me and declaration, we do have those moments when we don't see eye to eye, okay, those moments where, you know, she's being a little contrary, okay, or when I'm being contrary, right? Okay. See, the relationship is not rocked. Why? Why? Because there's a foundation built and has been fed by recalling how faithful she's been and me declaring and recognizing that in her. When you add that strong foundation of I'm reminded her commitment and I declare it, we can't be shaken. You will never convince me why my wife is not for me. Impossible. Impossible. She can tell me anything. She can say, you ignored this person. You know, you forgot to do this. You were boring when you preached. You know, she can say anything. She can say anything because I know she's for my success. But it's daily. It's daily. It's the same thing with you and the Father. You want to build faith? You want to have a faith that is rock solid, that will not move on Tuesday when something goes wrong at work. You want a faith that will not be rocked on Friday night when someone calls up and they're upset with you and you don't know why. You want something that won't be rocked? Feed yourself. Feed yourself the facts about the Father. He is faithful. He has been faithful and will always be faithful. Here, these are the things, again, every day, I come before the Father. I come before the Father, and these are things that I remember. I thank him daily for salvation. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he sent his son to die. Is that amazing or what? I want to remember that. I want to remember this. You know the second thing I recall? The wages of sin is death. I deserve hell. I deserve to be separated from God forever. Romans 6:23. Think about that. I want to remember that. Remember, this is God said he's going to bring salvation. I deserve hell. Right? And then I remember that. God, this is what I deserve. But Psalm 103:12. God has separated my sin from me as far as the east is from the west. I have no shame, I have no regret, and I have no guilt. Is that a good thing to remember? All right. So I start my morning. Thank you for salvation. I deserve hell, but you've delivered me. And not only that, you say that you give me peace. Peace. Peace of mind. You know, it says in Isaiah 53, it says he suffered, he was chastised that you could have peace of mind. Peace of mind. See, so when we're anxious and worried, what we're saying is, I don't trust God. Because he's saying, I've won peace of mind for you. John 16:33 is a scripture for that. Okay, he says, I've told you these things, but I want you to have peace. Peace is yours. Peace belongs to you. The next one, I'm professing, thank you for peace. I'm saying thank you for salvation. Thank you, you haven't sent me to hell. Thank you, Father God, for that I don't live in guilt, shame, and regret. I thank you, I have peace of mind. And the next thing is, thank you that I can have joy. You know, when you're not joyful, God's disappointed. He's disappointed. When you don't have joy, when there's not excitement inside of you, you're not excitement inside of you, he's disappointed. Look what all he's done for us. He's saying, again, so there should be an excitement inside of us. John 15:11, Jesus said to his disciples, again, in a very difficult place. Again, he had just told them, one of you is betraying me. I'm leaving you. Peter's going to deny me. And in that place, he says, I've told you these things so that my joy and delight could be in you and that your joy might be full and complete. You should have joy. You know, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy 28 that God says, because you haven't served me with joy, I will judge you. There's one. There's a series. Okay, but the point being, I remind myself, not only should I have peace, I should have joy. And another thing, okay, so and then I'm before the Lord, and I remind myself, you say you'll never leave me, ever. John 14:16, the Spirit of God will be with you forever. The Spirit of God lives in every one of us who profess him as King, right? And you know, the last one I always remind myself, eternal life. John 3:16. He sent his son, whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Eternal life. We have no fear of death. I don't fear death at all. Okay, so how do I build my faith? How do I build unshakable faith? I feed myself facts about the Father. Okay, and these are the facts. He wants to save you. You deserve hell. Not only does he forgive you, he separates you from all the guilt, shame, and regret. Then he says, you can have peace. Then he says, you can have joy. Then he says, I'll never leave you in this life. And he says, you have eternity secure. That is what our hope is in. My hope is in the truth about the Father. You want everyday faith that doesn't move? That's how you build it. That's how you build it. It's not by declaring or hoping you get answered prayer. Okay, it's by feeding yourself facts. You know, when you leave here today, not too long after that, you're going to be feeding yourself. Okay, right? Again, it's good to feed yourself. We're thankful we can. Thankful we have such bounty, right? Can you have the same concept about feeding yourself facts about the Father? Feed it. You eat every day. I need to feed myself this every day. I want you to have unshakable faith. I want you, because our hope is not in answered prayer. Our hope is in the reality that God has, Jesus has died for us. God is going to receive us into heaven. That's where our hope is. If you overflow with this reality, it's going to change everything in your life. Everything will change. See, you don't have to be praying about your problems anymore. You're praying, God, I'm going to remember. Because when I remember who you are, and I remember you've been faithful every time, and I remember you said I can have peace. Not only can I have peace, I can have joy. And you said, you think about this, God's with you forever. He does not send you anywhere, he takes you. Right? God doesn't send you. It's not like you pray and get your marching orders and leave. He says, I want to take you. I'm with you forever. See, as your faith is building this, you start to overflow with confidence and peace, which is where Father wants us. We're praying today. Many of us meet at 8 a.m. on Sundays to pray back here. If you want to come, love to have you. It's one of my favorite times of the week as we intercede. But the point is, one of the things that was prayed was that this church, that we as a church family would overflow with hope. See, but it's not hope in answered prayer. What's our hope in? Facts about the Father. That's what overflow in. We were to feed ourselves facts about the Father, and faith is going to overflow. If I could have Aaron come up, if you could, please. You know, there's I wish we had the overhead, like I said, for you to be able to copy these things down. If you'd want to copy these notes, you can see me after the meeting today, and we'll forward those to you. But you know, I was thinking of the scripture. You guys know it out of Matthew chapter 7. Many of you know it, where Jesus said, a wise man builds his house on a rock, right? And the person who builds a house on a rock, right? The person who builds their house on a rock, it says they're the ones who heard God's words and obey it and listen to it. They can never, ever be shaken. Aren't you tired of being shaken? Aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of lethargy? Listen, it's all tied to having faith in the wrong thing. Our hearts are pure. Hearts have been pure. But we've misplaced. Faith isn't about answered prayer. Faith is about hope in a good God who has proven who he is. And I want to see you take a giant step forward in faith that you could start to walk in the peace and the joy and the purposes of God. But that's up to you. See, because the thing about building faith is there's no shortcut, right? You can't declare it. We can't do a simple prayer today and, oh, you're good. No, it's daily. You feed yourself daily. You have to feed that soul daily. Amen? And so I want to end today, again, just with us making that communicating that to God, us starting to recite and speak these scriptures, these truths, that our faith is in the right thing. It's no longer, I'm not looking for answered prayer. I just want to know he's good. And I pray on that foundation. From that foundation, God, I know you're good. Therefore, I pray. And if that's you, again, I want you to stand up. Stand up and let's pray together right now. Just stand up, and we're going to be done here in a few moments. But we want to be people who stand that way, amen? Amen. Amen. So again, if you feel so led, if God's compelling you, you can come forward or you can stay where you're at. At times I know God moves us, he strikes me, and I need to go forward almost as an act of humility before the Lord. If that's you, do it. Don't let anything stop you. You want to walk in fullness. You want to walk in fullness of God. All right? Amen. I pray again that this has spoken to hearts, that from this day forward you can walk in a different way. Right? Your faith is not in your faith. Your faith is in the character of God. So let's come before him right now, and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes because it helps you focus. It helps you focus. And Father, we come before you. And Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your patience with us, your patience with me. I thank you. Thank you. And Father God, I ask for forgiveness that I haven't understood faith. I've thought faith was about answered prayer. But it's so much more than that. So Father, we come before you right now. We, again, think about this. I'm coming before God. You're not just in a congregation. You're before God by yourself. And Father, we say, as it says, and Jesus said in John 3:16, God, you so loved the world, you gave your son. Think about that. He so loved you, he gave his son. Thank you for salvation. And Father God, I remember I deserve hell because the wages of sin is separation, and I have disobeyed you. And I remember that. But out of your goodness, you've forgiven me. And not only do you forgive me, but Psalm 103:12 says that you separate my sin from me. You have no guilt today. You have no shame today. Thank you. Thank you. And not only that, you say, I can have peace of mind. Jesus said that in John 16:33. Thank you, Father, for peace. That's a fact. And not only that, in John 15, you said, I can have joy. Thank you. I can have peace and joy in the worst day. In the worst day. And not only that, Father, you said that you are with me. You live inside of me. John 14:16. Your spirit will never leave. You don't send me, you take me. And on top of all that, you say, don't worry about death, because to you it means nothing. You have eternal life. Jesus said that in John 3:16. Father, I pray again, God, that this would mark a new day for many of us. A new day. Father God, a new day. My faith is in the Father. My faith is in a Father and the facts that I know about Him. I'm going to feed myself the facts about the Father to build my everyday faith. Thank you, Father. Let us be a people who overflow with hope and peace and joy. Because if I'm not overflowing, man, I'm missing out on what God has. Thank you, Father, for your care and your love. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. You can be seated.
Let me give Pastor Gary a hand. Thank you for coming and sharing with us today.